Greetings, Scotch potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Neil Miller, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies, the new and improved Fat Guys at the Movies, especially now that I'm here.
What was that? What was it? You're here.
Yeah, I am. I'm here this week. Not only am I here this week, Kevin, but I believe I've seen 3/4 of the movies that we're talking about.
You've seen just as many movies as I have, which is...
Yep.
I honestly think that's the first Horseman of the Apocalypse.
Well, yeah, and most of the situation is that I've seen every movie that I had the opportunity to see.
Yeah.
So I didn't see... We have 4 movies to talk about this week. Of course, the spectacle of CGI brilliance that is Yogi Bear. Also,
yes.
Tron Legacy, which I'm told is some sort of independent film filmed on 16mm.
I hear they use some computer machines to work on that movie.
Right, but only to edit the movie. Of course. It was all practical effects.
Yeah.
And then The Fighter with Mark Wahlberg and Christian Bale. And then How Do You Know, which, to my knowledge, did not screen in Austin, Texas, which is where I reside. So it's hard to review something when you can't see it, especially since we record before the weekend.
Yeah.
So there you have it. I've seen everything that I could possibly see. I'm getting out there. I'm getting reviews ready, and I'm here. I'm here for the show. I'm here for you, Kevin.
You're disappointing our audience by actually seeing stuff. Apparently,
I'm sure I'll get a nasty note from Jeff Hall. So anyway, here's how you can get a hold of Fat Guys at the Movies.
Do you know how long it's been since you've been on the show? Is Thomas from Seattle actually sent us a voicemail?
Did he?
I can't find it. It's been that long ago, and I've been keeping.
Well,
it
Thomas,
for
to answer
you.
Your question, no, I've never really thought about my own sexuality like that.
Wow. I'm pretty
Moving
sure
on.
That's not what the question was.
Anyway, here's how you can get a hold of Fat Guys at the Movies. You can go over to fatguysatthemovies.com. You can get us on iTunes. Please go to iTunes and search Fat Guys at the Movies. Give us a review. Give us some high marks if you can. Anything to get it up there. And hopefully someday the iTunes editorial staff will recognize the awesomeness of this brief show and put us on the featured page. So that should be championing. Get Fat Guys the Movies on the feature page, if for no other reason than to have Kevin Carr's mostly naked body on the featured page of iTunes. So,
What's funny is I've recently picked up a couple radio stations that have me do reviews for them, and every time it's a new station, they're always like, "So is that you on that page?" I'm like, "That is me.
Nice.
I'm the one on the right."
You can email us, fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com, or leave us a voicemail, area code 740-205-6456.
Yes. Like I said, we had a voicemail from Thomas, but I'll try to locate it, but I don't know if I'll find it. But it may not even happen this year.
Sometimes. All right, man. Well, I mean, we're almost to the end of the year, so if it doesn't happen like this week or next week, then it won't happen this year.
That's true.
Anyway, let's talk about these movies. What do you say?
Yes. Yeah,
let's move into the first one, which is Yogi Bear. Yogi and Boo Boo get the live-action CGI treatment in this kids' film where they have to save Jellystone Park from land developers.
David, Boo Boo, my boy.
Nice day for a picnic. What the heck was that?
Well, I have problems with potato salad.
Bears avoid people, not run around stealing their food.
I smell PB&J. I'm okay.
You do come up with some good plans, Yogi.
That's because I'm smarter than the average bear, and I jump over Boo Boo at the end.
No, you don't.
I'm going to try it.
I don't care.
Now, Kevin, aside from the fact that this pretty much mirrors the plot from Furry Vengeance, which was perhaps one of the worst movies of the year.
Furry Vengeance was pretty awful.
Yeah, it was bad. But aside from
this movie does not feature Brendan Fraser in juicy sweatpants.
Yeah, but it does feature an equally bad actor in Tom Cavanaugh. However, I enjoy this movie. And I'll tell you why. A few things. One, Anna Faris is in this movie, and as I was telling you before the show started, her wide-eyed, stupid look is perfect for this kind of movie.
She's beautiful stupid. She plays beautiful stupid.
She is beautiful stupid. And I really did enjoy one of the animated characters. I really enjoyed Boo Boo. Because I thought Boo Boo, with Justin Timberlake as Boo Boo, was
he was great.
Perfect.
I love Justin Timberlake as an actor. I think he's a fantastic actor.
It took me a little while to get used to Dan Aykroyd as Yogi Bear because he was a little bit of there was a little too much Dan Aykroyd, not enough Yogi Bear in there.
Yeah.
But overall, I will say this. It captures the spirit of the cartoon and kind of the silliness of the cartoon. And it captures the spirit of the two characters at its heart. And you know what? It's a brisk ride, and that's important in a kid's movie. And I found myself laughing quite a bit.
Well, you know, I'm going to echo what you said. There's a lot of people out there that are like, oh, this is going to be terrible. It's going to suck. And blah, blah, blah. And there's all this rumph-rumph, you know, people gnashing their teeth on, you know, on the interwebs about it. And I'm like, well, first of all, it's a kid's movie. And they make no bones about that. But if you go back and watch the Yogi Bear cartoons from the 60s, first of all, they're cheap as all get out. I mean, they're pencil sketches practically. And every single episode is about Yogi Bear stealing picnic baskets and the ranger getting mad at him. That is the extent of Yogi Bear. So to say that it's not living up to this sort of faux nostalgic feel, these people just haven't watched an old Yogi Bear episode. They maybe
watched several, and they're ridiculous.
Yeah, they're not great TV. They're kids cartoons from the 60s made really super cheaply by Hanna-Barbera at a time when Scooby-Doo was high quality animation.
Right. You
know? So but the other thing is it's 3D. It's shot in 3D. It's used the fusion camera systems. It is a good thing to show your kids and say this is why it looks good in 3D versus something that's been converted. And even though I think conversion is getting better, the 3D works because it's shot for 3D. It's composed in 3D. And yes, it's very gimmicky, but why not? You got kids in the audience watching it.
Right.
They like seeing turtles fly around.
Right. So I enjoyed Yogi Bear. I thought it kind of rocks. It's not a perfect movie. It's really low brow. Not low brow. It's just kind of low minded.
Well, in a low brow sense, I do invite Anna Faris to go gorilla on me. Please.
And I'll say this, I had some laughs. I had a bunch of friends there at the screening with me, and we had a good laugh, and I cannot say that I liked it as much, or I liked it a lot more than it deserved to be liked, maybe.
I'm gonna say it rocked. So
I'm gonna say it kind of rocks, and you know, go see it if you got kids. It's worth seeing.
Definitely. Let's move to the next one real quick. We're not even going to review it because they screened it for us the same night as Tron, as How Do You Know. Paul Rudd and Reese Witherspoon are adorable together, and Owen Wilson breaks a lamp.
George? How are you?
Good to see you.
Yeah. George, this is my boyfriend, Maddie.
Nice to meet you.
Who is he?
You didn't even say hello.
Yeah, I think you ought to check with me before you invite some guy over, so I'm a little too pissed off to just say hello.
I think I screwed up.
Not from my perspective.
Like I said, they screened this on the same night as Tron, deliberately just so they wouldn't get it covered. Apparently, this movie cost $140 million to make, and I don't think there's any excitement whatsoever to see this.
I'm interested to see how it turns out. I'm interested to see how the review comes out from Reb Hunter of Film School Rejects. So you should go on the Film School Rejects site and read that, because I think he might have liked it. And Rob doesn't like anything, so we'll see.
Unless it's got Japanese schoolgirls in it.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll see how that goes. In the meantime, we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back and talk about Tron.
Tron!
And we are back here on Fat Guys at the Movies, rolling on strong. We got through Yogi Bear, we got through How Do You Know, and so far, I mean, it looks like a pretty decent week at the movies. Yeah. However, we got some two heavy hitters coming up. We haven't even talked about the big movies yet.
Oh, pun already, because what's the first one we're talking about?
The Fighter. In which Mark Wahlberg punches a lot of people and asks you to say hello to your mother for him, and Christian Bale smokes crack.
You pave streets, right?
Yeah, I do, and I'm a fighter.
I heard you were a stepping stone.
Oh, I mean, I had a few tough fights, but the next fight's gonna show who I am.
Mickey Ward is 31 years old. He's here because he needs the money.
Look at the size of that guy.
He's got 20 pounds on me, Dickie.
You don't fight, nobody gets paid.
I'm quitting, Shelly. I'm done fighting. I don't need it anymore.
It's sad that you let them take it away from you.
Look, Mick, nobody's got heart like you. You're a very talented fighter. I want to give you a real shot.
I'm interested to hear what you thought of this movie.
Well, I believe I talked about it a little bit. Maybe I didn't when Jeremy Kirk was on the show a couple weeks ago. It's getting a lot of buzz. The performances are really good. Some of them are. I mean, Christian Bale is the big thing for this movie. I mean, it's the movie that he's acting his guts out for. Mark Wahlberg plays Mark Wahlberg. Well, you know, and Amy Adams is Amy Adams, and she's
with a Boston accent. She's gonna go pack the cat.
That's
face.
Right. And but she, you know, what's nice I like is the fact that, and I'll say this about Anna Faris and Yogi Bear, both of them they're a little plump in these movies, and but not in a bad way, in a good way. They don't look like they're ready to die.
They look like actual human beings. They don't look super thin.
And there's
I noticed that about Amy Adams in this movie where she. She looks like she put on a few pounds just to kind of look like
and looks good
that girl that that girl in her early 30s who's been working at a bar for too many years.
But she looks good that way, and she's in her underwear, so I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I mean she's still a good looking lady.
Oh yeah,
I can't say anything bad because I have my lady's probably listening to this, but yeah, Amy Adams.
Yeah, I don't think she's threatened at all. anyways, I thought it was an okay movie. It was well made and it hit the points, but it kind of suffers from a war film cliche. I mean, it's about a boxer. It takes place in Boston, so of course you got all the Massachusetts accents through the movie that we have in Conviction and The Town. And it's also just sort of like revels in the white trashery of the world, which seems to be an award film cliche as well.
Yeah, well, and I will tell you this. I thought it was two movies. It was a really good story of brothers. I think Wahlberg and Bale were good together. I thought Bale was probably almost as good as everybody thinks he is in this movie. You know, very good.
I hear he smoked crack.
Method acting. I mean, it feels. I mean, he lost a lot of weight, stuff like that. Kind of the way he did for The Machinist. So
I think he smoked crack.
Another great Bale performance. Wahlberg, I thought, elevated his game enough to pull it off. I mean, he was playing a meathead anyway, so it didn't matter.
He still plays Dirk Diggler, but I enjoy it.
Yeah, it was a good brotherhood drama, but it was a terrible boxing movie.
You're right.
All the boxing scenes had no energy to them.
You're right.
It didn't build. It used this weird soundtrack that had all this popular music in it instead of using maybe a sweeping score or a score that builds tension. You know, it was one of those movies, like, you think about Rocky and the score and how wonderful the score is and how it really builds to the end. So by the end, you're like, yeah, Rocky. By the end of this movie, I was like, yeah, guy, good going,
it's not,
buddy.
It's not a, it so, really isn't a boxing movie, and because you're right.
Well, and it had that very standard hero narrative where, he rises up from the ashes and breaks away from all the things that are holding him back, and he gets to the big fight at the end. But at the end, I was like, okay, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, I really don't care anymore. I just want this movie to be over. So I didn't really like it.
I gave it a kind of rocks just simply for it's because it's not my cup of tea. But if you like that sort of thing and you're into the award films,
I'm gonna say kind of sucks because even really good performances couldn't hold this movie above water for me. I almost fell asleep.
Ah.
So, moving on to a movie I did not fall asleep in at all. Tron Legacy, in which Kevin Flynn's son is transported into the computer world where he must search for his father and defeat the evil program that has taken over the grid.
Sam, I was paged last night. Page came from your dad's office at the arcade. That number's been disconnected for 20 years.
Hey, Dad. This isn't happening.
Your father was the creator.
Where do I find him?
Make it there alive, and he'll find you.
I want to hear what you say first. You go
well,
first.
It's interesting because I thought that, going into this, I'd heard some things from friends around the industry. They showed it at Buttonumathon here in Austin, and I heard that it was a disaster. I heard that it was a big, sloppy mess of a movie, a big, expensive fart, essentially.
Wow.
And I, maybe that tempered my experience a little bit, but I thought the story wasn't too bad. It was pretty stock and trade
story.
The
story was exactly the same story as the first one. I mean,
you got the Christ allegory in there and blah, blah, blah. It's basically the same story. And however, I will say this, the grid, the scenes, the very few, and this is the biggest problem I had with the movie, was that it had too few action sequences in it. The stuff that it did have was really the grid realized in the most spectacular way possible.
Well, I don't think
it was some of the coolest stuff you can dream of from the world, from the concept of Tron.
I think action-wise, it had plenty of action, and it was fine action. But there's a lot of scenes in there, especially near the end, that aren't action scenes, but are more sweeping, epically looking shots. I saw it in IMAX, and there's scenes in there. In particular, there's a scene near the end where Clue, who's the bad guy, is speaking to the troops, literally. And it just goes on forever. I mean, in terms of the visuals, there's so much depth and so much to it. That, to me, was as visually appealing as the light cycle chase and that sort of thing. It's a sight to behold, as cheesy as that sounds.
Yeah, and it's a very cool sight, and I think some of the CGI effects are really awesome. Mm. I mean, literal meaning of awesome. It inspires some awe. If I were a 12-year-old kid and I went out and see this movie, I would want every single one of those toys.
Oh, yeah. Well, here's the thing from my perspective. I was 11 when Tron came out, the first Tron came out. And I remember going to see that movie and just my jaw dropping on the floor. It's the first time you ever saw full-blown CGI like that in a movie. And it was an awesome sight as a kid. And I've recently watched Tron a couple times back when you could actually get the DVD. I saw it projected about 2-3 years ago. I saw it at a movie marathon. And it's a silly story. I mean, it's not a great story. It's got a lot of cheesiness.
And it's kind of boring.
Yeah, I mean,
it's a little boring.
It slows down at parts. So this one's equally the same. And it reminds me a lot of take the 3D out of this equation for Clash of the Titans, but there are all these people who saw the remake of Clash of the Titans and like, oh, it wasn't as good as the original. I'm like, have you seen the original? The original's stupid. I mean, it's got these goofy special effects here and there. It's fun, and when I was 10 when it came out, I thought it was the greatest thing ever made. But I see the original Clash of the Titans for what it was, just a silly little movie, and so the remake was equally silly. And so this one, it's groundbreaking and brilliant looking and state of the art. But it's the same kind of movie, and I'm okay with that. I had a blast watching. I took my kids and they loved it. I had 7-year-old, 9-year-old glued to the TV. I'm sorry, glued to the screen, even more than they were in Yogi Bear. I think that says volumes.
Yeah, it has some moments that are visually arresting. Now, granted, that only lasts for about 30 minutes of the movie, and the rest of the movie is the exposition train going through slow town. But, you know, for the most part, I got exactly what I wanted out of a Tron movie. Yeah. And I think a lot of people who want to enjoy it are going to. They're going to get some really cool stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and they're going to get...
were you going to finish this thought? More
That's
cool
pretty
stuff?
Much it. That, okay. They got some really cool stuff. Well, and the performances were okay, and, you know, it was...
I'm going to make the inevitable Avatar comparison, not just because of the time it came out, and it's this 3D IMAX movie almost on the exact same release date. Difference is, and I think this plays well to it, is Avatar was very organic because it takes place in a jungle. This one's as far on the opposite direction as it can, but it's still visually arresting and beautiful.
Right.
But it's a movie you kind of have to go see in the theaters. You know, don't illegally download this. Don't watch it online. Don't wait till it comes to even Blu-ray on 1080p. Go see it in IMAX 3D because you will poo yourself watching this movie with how awesome it is.
Yeah, definitely a movie I would recommend seeing in theaters.
Yeah.
So
will it make $700 million? Probably not.
Probably not, because I don't think it has the staying power. It doesn't have the complexity. It doesn't have the story.
Yeah. But even then, the story in Avatar was... I mean, Pocahontas, that's all it was. It was just told very effectively, had some great sequences in it.
Right. I mean, I can see where some of the problems are coming in. I can see where some people are thinking that it's worse because, you know, you should have high expectations for a movie that was that expensive. But I say it kind of rocks.
I say it totally rocks. Go see it. It's awesome. We got to go to a break.
And with that, we'll be back in a moment.
10 miles of hard road, 33 years of tough luck, 44 skulls buried in the ground, crawling down through the muck. Oh, yeah.
And welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies. We just got done talking about Tron.
Yeah, I think we said everything we wanted to say, right?
I think so. Well, one other, let me just add a couple other things. As somebody who was a child, I was at the perfect age for Tron. I mean, I was 11 when it came out in the summer, so I just loved the movie. It has some really neat callbacks, and like not just the score. I mean, because Daft Punk does a fantastic job with the score.
Yeah, the score is awesome. The sound design is really impressive.
Yeah, they even
technically
have these,
it's an interesting movie.
There's some music cues in there that completely harken back to an 80s score, and particularly in the beginning when they're actually in the real world. If you remember the scene where Sam Flynn is riding his bike. And they have this sort of this boop, beep, boop, beep, 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 this very Casio keyboard sounding music, which was right out of what you would have had for the original Tron. So I just, there was a lot to me that brought me back to being 11 years old in the theater watching the original and just loving every minute of it.
Right. I agree. I thought, and it, the problem is that it's slow. You know, the problem is that there's a big chunk of the movie that is very slow and it lacks action, and it needed one more action polish. And I think the story, as basic as it is, you know, just needed a couple more punches, and that's it. But I thought the 3D was cool too. Yeah. Anyway, let's talk about box office. What do we think
who won last week?
I'll give you last week. The Chronicles of Narnia actually came in first, which I would not have predicted. $24 million.
I knew it would come in first. I would have expected maybe $10 million more from that movie.
But you know, it just goes to show that series is not exactly at its high point.
Well, you know, part of it is the line, "The Witch in the Wardrobe," was what C.S. Lewis originally wrote, and then he wrote a sequel. And then he wrote another sequel. And I never read the books. My sister read the books. I don't know if she read all 7, but I remember she said at a certain point, she was like, "I just got kind of tired of them because they just kind of went nowhere." And a lot of times you'll get that. Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy is the same kind of thing. That first book's brilliant. Second book's okay. The third book just gets silly. And, you know, unless you have something like Harry Potter, which actually has this arc going through it that has a purpose.
Right.
You know, it's, you know, once you get to 3-4 books, it just becomes something for the fans.
Right, I'm with you. Yeah. Anyway, so that won the weekend last week. The Tourist was in second, Tangled in third, Harry Potter in fourth, and Unstoppable in fifth. Black Swan at $3.3 million in its expansion, which I have a feeling that one's going to continue to get more and more attention. That may actually move up the charts in the next couple of weeks with all the Golden Globe nominations and the heavy-duty Oscar buzz.
Something tells me that the Golden Globe nominations aren't going to help The Tourist at all.
Right.
I don't understand that at all. That was the one I was most pissed off about. I'm sorry, but...
Wait, it got Golden Globe nominations?
It got nominated for Best Picture Musical Comedy. It got Angelina Jolie and Johnny Depp both nominated for Best Actor and Actress.
Well, that's that musical and comedy category.
But it's not a comedy.
Nothing.
That's the thing. It's not a comedy. That'd be like saying...
Maybe the HFPA has a different sense of humor than the rest of us.
I have no idea. That'd be like saying The Ghostwriter was a comedy. I mean, it was
definitely not a comedy.
It's not a comedy, but it does have this almost sardonic take on things, so I guess you could classify it as a comedy if you wanted to. Or like saying
The Tourist doesn't have any musical numbers?
No. I mean, it was funny because...
What the hell, man?
Burlesque was nominated for... But it had to... Because it's the only musical that's been released this year.
Right.
That's because they made the category back in the 50s when they actually did...
When there was a lot of musicals?
When there were a lot of musicals out, yeah.
Anyway. All right. Well, so that's the box office from last week. What do we think this week? Tron? I guess it's really
sure
just to predict how much Tron is going to make. I think Yogi Bear could do $25 million.
Yogi Bear's going to do well. The only thing that's going to keep Yogi Bear's numbers, what's going to deplete Yogi Bear's numbers, is it is very much a kids movie and stupid.
Well,
and,
you know, however, kids movies do well this time of year. Parents want to take those kids out, and
they'll go see it. Parents will go see it with their kids. But what I'm saying is, you're not going to get like a bunch of teenagers to go see it, on a Friday night, unless they're trolling for kids.
Right,
then
which
you got a whole lot
hopefully they don't, I guess.
No, but I Tron's gonna win. I would expect somewhere. I'm gonna do a big range, but I'm just gonna say 50 to 70 million.
Yeah.
Fair
enough.
I think that's good. Like, and if you look at it, last year at this time, same weekend, Avatar opened in the 70 million range, which is low compared to what its final gross was. But that's just because it had legs like you wouldn't believe.
Right.
But I think Tron's. I honestly think Tron's going to be better than. There's a lot of hate out there in the interwebs. There's a whole lot of hate out there on like Twitter and fanboys and that sort of thing. I do not see that reflected in the general public.
Right.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, and I think with the amount of marketing Disney's put behind it, I don't see it not making a lot of money. Sure, you know, a bunch of online reviewers don't like it, but it's going to be one of those movies that is fairly critic-proof.
It's still rocking like a upper 60s on Rotten Tomatoes at this time, which is pretty good. Usually when it's a movie like this that's going to get trashed, it'll get trashed early, you know.
Right.
But it's got something like 60 some reviews up, and it's right on that certified fresh cusp, you know. Could it be pushed down?
You know, wait till I post my review.
I'll post my review, and it'll
be fresh. We're gonna make it fresh. We're gonna actually impact the world.
Freaky fresh, Tron.
Yeah. All right. Well, I mean, what did you say? What's your prediction? Actual prediction?
I would 60-62, but I think it's going to be 50-70.
That's fine.
It's going to do
I'll,
well.
I'll go with you on that. Yeah. I don't really have. I'm not putting up any forced opposition this week.
I also think it's going to do fantastic overseas.
Fair enough. Oh yeah, internationally.
It's
yeah,
gonna, it's going to clean up overseas. This kind of movies always do. Clash of the Titans did okay. Fantastically made money overseas. Yeah, 2012, Avatar.
Those
all
Europeans,
these
they really like the Daft Punk.
Yes. Well, so I'm aren't sure they, that aren't they like it. Belgian or something like that?
I have no idea what they are. They never take their masks off.
They're French.
So,
aren't
I mean,
they?
How are we supposed to know what they are?
I know. Crazy people. They could be leprechauns for all we know.
They could be aliens. But they're in the movie, and that's awesome. So, yes. Cool. Sweet. Time to move on to the Fat Guy 5, which we're not doing anything video game related.
No, because that would be trite.
You'd think that we'd go there. Of course you'd think we'd go there. But no, we're not going there this week. This week we're going to 5 cartoons that need a movie.
And this would be like a live-action CGI kind of movie.
Right. And I seem to have forgotten the last one off my notes. So you're going to have to help me out there.
I'll help you out.
Yep, so we'll start. Oh, no, I remember what it is.
Yeah.
Never mind. So we'll start with Hong Kong Phooey.
Hong Kong Phooey.
This is one of Kevin's.
Number one super guy.
Yeah. So what is your vision for Hong Kong Phooey, the movie?
I would love to see Hong Kong Phooey. He was a dog that was a janitor. Mm-hmm. It was like everybody else was human, but he was a janitor because he was a dog. Right. And when there was trouble, he'd jump into a filing cabinet and he'd get on his karate his kung fu outfit. And it was voiced by either Scatman Crothers or somebody who sounded a hell of a lot like him. And right. I think what they need to do is they need to do live action with a CGI Yogi Bear kind of thing and get Samuel L. Jackson to do his voice instead. So it'd be like he'd jump and they go, I am sick of these motherfucking criminals in this motherfucking house, you know, or something like that.
Right.
That would be awesome.
Because we're still not over that snakes on a plane joke.
It's going to be there forever. Yeah. You know what's
going to
happen?
It's one of the all-time greats of this generation.
It's going to be Samuel L. Jackson's funeral, and the person whoever's eulogizing him is going to be like,
I'm sick of this eulogy in this motherfucking eulogy. Cemetery.
Exactly.
Anyway. So we'll move on to the next one. Yeah, you could do this one.
Yeah, The Snorks, which since they're doing a Smurfs movie, and the Snorks were of the same... cut from the same cloth. Oh, excuse me, it's late. I watched Tron tonight. no, the Snorks were little underwater creatures, like squiddy kind things.
Right.
They had a little tube on their head.
Yeah, I'm familiar.
And I would love to see it like directed by Guillermo del Toro.
Like crazy creature, live action practical effects Snorks.
Yeah, and it would be terrifying. It would be
awesome.
A horrible movie.
And it would be a horror movie.
Yes.
And it would be a kid in the basement.
It'd be awesome.
Yeah, awesome. Sweet. You get the next one as well.
I'll do the next one. I just came up with all these, and you've sort of...
Well, I'm gonna take the one after this, because it's awesome. I only take the awesome ones.
But this one is Thundar the Barbarian, which was about... It's like sort of like a He-Man kind of thing without all the magic. It was just a big blonde dude who
people will praise it for its groundedness.
Yeah, and he had like a cat, like a sidekick. No, maybe that may have been He-Man. But what the best thing I remember,
Thundercats.
No, there was a guy, he had a magical cat that would change, but I think that may have been He-Man. But Thunder the Barbarian,
I think there was He-Man as well,
had the same theme song as Remington Steele.
Is that really the reason why you picked this?
I loved the show when I was a kid. It was fantastic. It was like, took place on another, it was either on another planet or in the future, and it was sort of this barbarian world. I loved it. It was fantastic. I watched an episode. It was on one of these Saturday morning cartoon releases that they did from Hanna-Barbera. I lived in the 80s.
Yeah, you did. You were old in the 80s.
I wasn't that old. I turned 9 when the 80s showed up.
Here are two fantastic figures of the 80s and their cartoons. These are real cartoons.
Honest to God, cartoons.
Mr. T. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. So why wouldn't you have a Mr. T cartoon? I would keep it animated.
I think what they should
fully do... fully animated CGI Mr. T.
Yeah, there's animated
to make him
CGI
look young again.
Because what they did is they would always have the episode would start off, and the next one, the one that's also in the same wheelhouse that you're going to mention here, does the same thing, where Mr. T, the real Mr. T, does a little intro where he's like standing there with all of his bling and everything. He's like, pity the fool, whoever goes to bullying at school, and this is why it's bad. And then they do a little cartoon.
It's like the infomercial for kids. Mr. T teaches kids how to behave.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
And it would be, but I think that they should have live action, just regular actors and the CGI Mr. T, but don't make him look real. Don't like do the Clue Jeff Bridges face. Make him like anthropomorphic cartoony.
Right.
Mr. T. That would be so cool.
That'd be pretty awesome. This one, I forget the name of the actual show. It's Chuck Norris. What's the full name?
Chuck Norris Karate Commandos with a K.
Oh, Karate Commandos. Yeah. That's right. Super awesome concept. Chuck Norris's Karate Commandos. This would also have to be animated because, you know, Chuck just turned like 75 years old or 70 years old. The guy's way old.
But they do that, they'd have him doing the introduction. And he'd be in the dojo and have his and have his karate uniform on, and he basically, again, it'd be like, well, you know, when you go to, you shouldn't take drugs and blah blah blah.
Right, or I'll come and kill you with my beard hair. But I believe that it should also be built on the Chuck Norris facts legacy.
Yes.
So it should combine the Chuck Norris cartoon, which if you watch the trailer, I think we should post it in the show notes. The trailer on YouTube, you can see that the animation is fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
And well, Chuck Norris looks awesome and intimidating.
Well, the other thing that's great about this episode, this show, was he had a sidekick that was a sumo wrestler.
Awesome.
Which is the most offensive, because he like walked around in his diaper, in his sumo diaper. Like sumo wrestlers in Japan just go to the store in their diaper.
They don't.
That'd be like having a football player going to the store in full gear,
right?
That'd be just silly.
Wait, that happens? No, it doesn't. You're right. Anyway, the final one is Darkwing Duck. This is probably the one that is closest to what I would foresee for Yogi Bear, where Darkwing Duck himself is CGI and everything else is live action.
Yeah,
and it would have to star Lee Pace. I'm thinking Lee Pace. Because he was excellent in Marmaduke. So.
As Darkwing Duck?
No, not as Darkwing Duck, just as a character who interacts with... He has to be the live-action... Lee Pace and Anna Faris have to be the live-action characters for every movie with talking animals.
Apparently, Lee Pace says his agent has given you a couple calls lately.
No, I just... I saw Marmaduke, and I was like, God, this guy should always act across from CGI animals.
You and you're just like... You're in your utter defense of Marmaduke.
Marmaduke's awesome. It has dancing dogs at the end. Spoiler.
Well, so did Furry Vengeance.
Yeah, but Furry Vengeance was awful. It had Brendan Fraser and Juicy Pants.
Oh, that just sounds gross.
Yep.
I just threw up in my mouth.
Anyway, and a
Honorable mention.
There's the word. Honorable mention goes to
in front of you. You should be able to read that.
Yeah, the Nickelodeon series Doug, about Doug Funny. This is another one that I would just go completely crazy. First of all, it'd be directed by Terrence Malick. Second of all, It would be in which Doug, Skeeter, and the dog Porkchop are the only... Oh, and Patty Mayonnaise.
I have no idea what you're talking about. It sounds like you've gone insane and you have like a...
Those are the only characters in CG. Everything else is live action. And it won't make any sense, but it'll be excellent. And they'll be surrounded by like Sean Penn and Mickey Rourke as like gangsters. And it'll be Doug versus gangsters or something. And Porkchop will, of course, save the day.
And they'll have a rape scene in the middle or something.
Yeah, like Patty Mayonnaise will have to get raped. But it'll be a live action character raping the animated Patty Mayonnaise.
I don't even know who Patty Mayonnaise is.
No, I don't. You know what? But I take that back. I don't like rapey movies. We don't need any rapey movies.
Rapey movies? Even if it's like...
She'll get kidnapped by a live action character and
even if it's like a... I mean, what would the MPAA...
I don't want to spoil it. That?
What would they do if they had... like, well,
if a live action character raped an animated character?
He's not raping a real person.
I don't know. I think we'd still get an R. I think any Doug movie would be hard R. It would have to be. There's no other way to do it.
Does Doug talk?
Yeah.
I've never watched Doug in my life.
Skeeter's awesome. Patty Mayonnaise has an awesome name.
Sounds like you're have aphasia and you're just randomly saying words.
Anyway, Doug is awesome. And I'm totally disregarding the whole fact that Doug had a movie.
He did have a movie. That's why it's an honorable mention and not a real one.
Totally irrelevant to this conversation.
Because there has not been a Thundar movie yet.
Fair enough. And there has not been a Darkwing Duck movie. Sadly, get on that, whoever owns Darkwing Duck, Warner Brothers.
Boom.
What the heck? Anyway, moving on. I think it's time to go to a break so we can wrap you up and get you out of here and probably apologize for how long this segment took.
Oh, that's not
but we shall return momentarily.
Tiddly tata.
And we're wrapping you up here on Fat Guys the Movies. Another show is almost to a close. I'm Neil Miller. I'm still co-host of this show, in case you thought that I wasn't there for a while.
It happens. He is contractually obligated. He's like Johnny Carson in the 90s.
Just one a month, I think, is my limit. I only show up to review the big movies, which this week, you know, Tron is really, that was the one last big movie. I think, we got True Grit next week, but I feel like I've seen it.
Let's not discount like Little Fockers.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'll see that, too. Yeah. You'll see that this week. True. Anyway, time to do what we always do, the world-famous DVD roundup. And I'll start because I've only got a few. One is Micmacs, which is the Jean-Pierre Jeunet film, which I think I raved about early in the year.
Yeah.
And I would continue to rave about it if we had enough time. But just know that it's really, really fun and playful and colorful and interesting and all of those things that a movie should be.
Yes.
And it's great. Despicable Me, which is probably one of the better animated films of the year. It is. One of the more underrated ones. A lot of fun, especially for the kids. And it's very silly, but well done.
The Blu-ray comes with these little mini movies with the minions. The banana,
which are a lot of fun.
The banana episode is the funniest thing I've seen in weeks. It's hilarious.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
I would also urge folks to rent at least Cyrus, the Duplass Brothers movie.
Yeah.
Which very funny, very fun performances from John C. Reilly and Jonah Hill.
Wouldn't you deal with Jonah Hill as an overprotective son if you could boink
if you
Marissa
could pork
Tomei.
Marissa Tomei?
Wow,
yes.
You really took the low road on that one.
What? That's what that means.
I know what it means, but
you get to the just because it's pretty safe assumption.
Okay,
that's a pretty safe. I mean, that's a universal term right there.
Sure. Okay.
Anyway, I mean that's what I would do to Marissa Tomei.
Well, that's wonderful. Here?
Anyway, and finally, I would urge you to go out and see Exit Through the Gift Shop, the best documentary of the year. Yeah. It's a documentary by Banksy, the British street artist, and it is just wild and off the wall and incredibly engrossing and almost unbelievable. Mm. You will question whether or not it is true, and to this day, I have no idea whether any of it is true, but it is a lot of fun.
It's
an very
interesting
cool
movie, yeah.
Yeah, definitely interesting. So I would say pick that up if you can. Yeah. And now here's Kevin's laundry list.
My
of
laundry
list.
Well, you gotta give some love to the A-Team. The A-Team is out on DVD and Blu-ray. I love it.
Oh, yeah.
A-Team.
I think I'm going to watch that tomorrow.
It's a lot of fun.
I really like the A-Team.
There's an extended, it's the extended theatrical cut, which has like 10 extra minutes.
Please tell me that the the end scene is longer. Because that scene's awesome.
Oh, like, with the whole blowing things sequence. Up. What's funny is I actually, my wife and I were watching it, and I was so tired I ended up falling asleep. Not because of the movie, but I was tired. And it, like, finally woke me up in the finale, and I'm like, can you just turn that off? Like, and there's, like, 5 minutes left in the movie. But it's just explosions all over the place. But really good. Also, speaking of explosions, 24, the complete eighth season, that's out on DVD.
Jack Bauer.
There's also the complete collection you can get. Joan Rivers, collection. A Piece of Work. Stop. Did you terrorism. See that?
Joan Rivers, A Piece of Work is really good. That's really a kind of interesting, intimate look at Joan Rivers.
It's sort of like the Anvil, A Story of Anvil version of for this year, where it's kind of sad to watch because she's so trying to cling to her pop culture status.
Well, and it's, you know, some of the movies very self-serving.
Yeah.
Like, I don't feel like it was as intimate as it could be. But she is a fascinating woman.
Oh, yeah.
And it's fascinating to see her working so hard. And I didn't know a lot of the history behind her. Mm-hmm. And it's really interesting.
And it is amazing how unrecognizable she is from the clips from the 60s of herself.
Right. How normal she used to look.
Yeah. There's also Nanny McPhee Returns, which is okay. I mean, it was the sequel. It did really well over in Britain, you know. Army Wives Season 4, I have to say I kind of like that show. That's
I hear available. It's good it, for reality TV. I hear it's one
not,
of the
it's
ones.
Not a reality. It's a drama.
Oh, it's
thinking,
a drama?
You're thinking of a different show.
Yeah. And I was thinking Real Wives of Orange County.
No, that's different.
Or Hotlanta.
But then there's also two shows, and I hate when they do this, but you got to throw them in here because they actually come out today, which would be Friday, when this show goes live. The Legend of the Guardians, The Owls of Ga'Hoole, which I loved.
Ga'Hoole.
I thought it should. It kind of.
I can't wait to watch that on Blu-ray.
It's.
I think it's going to be such a cool,
it's a fantastic
Blu-ray movie.
Little movie. I just think it was mismarketed. And then The Town, Ben Affleck.
The Town's great.
Golden Globe nominated film.
One of my top 10 movies of the year, if I had to say right now.
One of my
top 10 was.
The stinker this week, Sweating to the Oldies 5.
Man,
mainly because
Richard Simmons.
I couldn't think of any other
mainly because
movies.
There weren't any other crappy movies.
I mean, they're all like
yeah,
decent,
there really wasn't. You know? I struggled with my Blu-ray column this week to find an avoid, and I just couldn't do it. There was nothing terrible came out this week.
I mean, The Other Guys was there. I've actually not seen The Other Guys.
I haven't seen it either, and nobody decided to send me a copy.
I
still want to see it.
I think I was out of
town. Will Ferrell's hilarious. Plus, I hear The Rock and Samuel L. Jackson are collectively hilarious in that movie.
Well, and also, it's one of those movies that apparently it's a much better spoof of cop films than Cop Out was.
Well, anything's a much better spoof. Tron Legacy was a much better spoof cop film than
Rabbit Hole was a better spoof of
yeah, I know.
Cop movies.
Anywho, time to wrap up our reviews. We'll start with How Do You Know, which none of us saw.
Yeah.
Right?
Neither of us did.
The Fighter, which I said kind of sucks.
I said kind of rocks if you like that sort of thing.
Yeah. Yogi Bear, which I said kind of rocks.
And I said totally rocks.
And Tron Legacy, which I also said kind of rocks.
And I also said totally rocks. I am completely.
Wow, you are just so much more emphatic than I am.
I am.
Next week, we've got a big fat helping of movies coming out at Christmas time. True Grit, the Coen brothers.
Awesome.
Remake of the John Wayne classic. Gulliver's Travels, starring Jack Black. And Little Fockers, the third. Is it the third movie? Or
the third. No, it's the third.
Third movie. Anyways, hit us up at fatguysinthemovies.com. In the meantime, go out and see some movies, people.
Booyah.